Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:40 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is May 6th. Gold had a strong day today. It was up $28, so it is now pushing back above the exponential moving average, and we're getting to the point where this downtrend from the peak back in August is being challenged. So the hallmark of that downtrend has been that there have been a succession of failed upside breaks. And each one of those failed upside breaks has been above a psychological round number. So we had the first one around the 2000 level. We've had a number around the $1,900 level. Now we're at $1,800. The last time we poked above that level, it failed a couple of days later. So in order to confirm to the global community that gold is back on the front foot and that we're going to see additional upside, then it is going to have to hold this move up and out of this little range. Considering the positive move that we've had from silver, I think that the balance of probabilities is that we are going to see additional upside here. Silver has clearly firmed now from the $25 area. And I think the bigger picture here is that it has been in this first step above the base for most of the last 9 months. And we had a very well-defined base formation between about 2014 and 2020. So we had the failed downside break in March of 2020. We've had the subsequent extraordinary push on the upside, more than doubling of prices, and now we're in this ranging phase. The most important thing to understand about a big breakout from a range is that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. Base formations, because of the duration of time that goes on, it depresses expectations for future potential. So when the breakout comes, it is both alarming and surprising in how quickly and far prices can go. And it scares people, so they're unwilling to run in and buy more. And then the price goes up even more. So it starts to encourage people that were waiting for evidence in off the sidelines. And it encourages people in, and people get extremely enthusiastic. And then prices pull back, and everyone gets disappointed, and people start to doubt the bull market hypothesis. But the nice thing about first steps above the base is, as long as the breakout is sustained, we're back in a bull market environment, and that this first step is really just the adjustment period. It's the number one purpose of a first step above the base is to confirm that higher prices can be sustained, and that it is not simply a flash in the pan or a short-term phenomenon. And it's usually the precursor to a more rhythmic trending environment. And that's what the future has in store for precious metals. So it's reasonable to conclude we're back in a demand-dominated environment. We even have to compress the time frame of the chart to see the peak back at $50. So it was a decade ago. And I think by the time this bull market has reached its peak, we can anticipate that silver will be well in excess of the peaks put in back in 2011. The other thing that I think is rather relevant is investors have been questioning, or commentators have been talking about, the fact that Bitcoin is the new gold. But people buy Bitcoin because they want quick profits, and people buy gold because they also want quick profits, but it's primarily because they want to hedge against the intentions of government to completely devalue the fiat currencies that they issue. Now we can think about Bitcoin. Well, its spectacular gains tends to really encourage momentum trading. And now we're also starting to see that regulators are looking at the completely unregulated nature of the market, the massive quantity of retail money that is sloshing around in there, and thinking that perhaps those retail investors need some form of protection. And we can think about all of the nefarious ways that trading used to take place in the 1920s. where front running was de rigueur. And we can then think about what goes on in the cryptocurrency markets, because front running is certainly something that already occurs. Spoofing is already illegal in the stock market. It's very apparent that that's what goes on in the cryptocurrency markets. The concentration of holding in a very small number of hands and the exaggerated moves, these are all part of the day-to-day trading of cryptocurrencies, and they would easily be regulated by the government. And of course, once they get a handle on regulation, they can also start thinking about taxation. So those are factors that would limit some of the speculative interest in cryptocurrencies. But gold is also a hedge against inflation, and it's universally thought of in those terms. So in many respects, Bitcoin is more like the stock market on steroids, and gold is probably more like bonds on steroids. It's the ultimate zero coupon bond because it can't be defaulted on. And that's not really true for just about anything else. Now, when we think about what's going on in the stock market, well, the Selective Stay-at-Home Index has been underperforming. So it is emblematic of the kinds of companies that did well in 2020. I think about all of the different kinds of purchases we made last year. We bought two new iPads, a new laptop, and we bought the Oculus Rift VR gaming headset. And we're not going to have to buy any new ones for a while. We may buy a new phone at some stage, but there's no real rush. So that growth rate in consumer demand for electronics, that was universal in 2020. But to maintain that growth over the course of 2021 or even 2022 is going to be virtually impossible. So that's one of the factors. Then we can think about the big decline that we saw today in Etsy. Well, Etsy is one of the primary venues for e-commerce, and it has now clearly broken down from this range. This is a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It's a type 2 top formation completion. We might see some ranging, and that ranging could persist for a long time, but it could be then even longer before we see the price peak around $250 exceeded. And if Etsy is pulling back, then we also then should be looking at companies like Shopify. So it got up to $1,500, and now it's right in the region of the trend mean. If Etsy's earnings are disappointing, then it's quite likely that Shopify is going to follow suit. So there is clearly an argument that we are looking at a very significant rotation out of the stay-at-home winners from 2020 and into the real world. And the real world is obviously characterized by the industrial resources and commodities more generally. So the Spot Raw Industrials Index continues to push on to new high ground. Copper prices remained really very firm. But now we're also starting to see that Dividend Aristocrats are being favored by investors because they have the ability to increase their prices. They've got strong franchises, and they can pass on rising costs to consumers with little in the way of rebellion. So the Dividend Aristocrats ETF was up additionally in here today. We're starting to see that the food producers are moving now. Kellogg was up in a dynamic manner in here today. When we look at JM Smucker, that's another example of these food processors. It has broken out of its base formation this week. Over in Europe, we can think about Glanbia, and that has now broken out of its base formation. Tate and Lyle in the UK has also started to push up and out of this range that's been forming now for what is literally years. And all of these food processors are following the move that we're seeing in the agricultural commodities. Tate and Lyle has been going sideways for what must feel like forever. And it's underperforming the FTSE 100, but I think it is worth considering that the FTSE 100 is dominated by these commodity-oriented companies. So it is dividend aristocrats are starting to regain attention once more. The FTSE 100 has been lagging the FTSE 250, what has also been an interminably long time, and the FTSE 250 is also benefiting from economic revival domestically. The UK is firing on all cylinders, and that is, of course, why the Bank of England is thinking about tapering. When we think about the weightings in these indices, well, they are heavily skewed towards the oil sector, the mining sectors, and then the consumer sector. And oil prices, they were a little softer in here today, but these prices around the $60 to $70 area, they're still economic for a large number of producers. And I think when that is probably beneficial. So prices are rising, but not rising aggressively. It's spikes in oil prices tend to be highly disruptive. But as long as oil prices are reasonably well contained, then that's likely to be beneficial to the global economy in general. So it's very clear that we're getting a rotation out of the stay-at-home winners into the real world, and of course, then in between the two, we have semiconductors. So there is obviously this challenge going on right now in terms of supplying the world with all of the semiconductors that they require. So the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index was off its lows in here today, but it's had a significant loss of momentum. On the one hand, a lot of the vehicles currently being brought to market are much more dependent on semiconductors than they used to be. And that is a trend that is going to accelerate higher over the course of the rest of the decade, because newer vehicles are more like computers on wheels. So there's certainly a secular demand growth trend for semiconductors. But it wasn't just electric vehicles that created this massive bull market in 2020. It was also consumer electronics. And consumer electronics is a lot more spongy in terms of demand. So I do think that we are due some consolidation in the semiconductors index overall. And that is certainly translating into a loss of consistency in trends like the move that we've had, for example, in Taiwan Semiconductor, and Samsung Electronics has also paused and it is trading down towards the lower side of its range right now as well. Then, when we think about what else is going on in the world, well, we continue to see that there is upward pressure on shipping rates, commodity prices, and the commodity processors are passing on those at higher costs. So that is equally true in the agriculture sector as it is in the food processors. So the fertilizer companies are also benefiting because of the increasing efforts to supply the market with what is required. So Mosaic is now right at the upper side of the range over the course of the last 5.5 years. As the industrial resources sector picks up, well, then demand for industrial gases and the real world type of products is also starting to pick up. So we see this continued uptrend in, and sorry, that is the wrong ticker. So Air Liquide is the one that I wanted to pick up. Sorry, this my computer is acting up right now. But Air Liquide and Lind, Praxair, and these are the autocracy of the industrial gases companies. So they will also benefit from the continued trend higher. And of course, this kind of trend where you have built-in inflation protection and also the ability to increase dividends and have the comfort to raise prices when required, and all of that being built upon a dominance of their respective sectors, that was the primary reason we came up with the autonomies designation in the first place. Amazon is still an autonomy because it is a dominant force in e-commerce, and in many respects, it's largely unassailable. Obviously, it is not going to trend higher all the time. And if we look at history, it has spent lengthy periods going sideways, and it could go sideways for a while longer. So it's not like every autonomy goes up all the time, but now we're definitely seeing more demand for some form of inflation hedge. And investors are at the point where they look at bond prices and they've been steady. They certainly haven't been trending higher in a big way. And they've been looking at gold, which is weak, and thinking that inflation is not going to come back. So this inflationary pressure and this question about whether inflation is going to trend higher in the medium term or not is still very much an argument. And it's a question whether investors really give credence to central banks and whether they are in fact going to wait until they see strong inflation before they act. But I think rather than doubting the way of thinking of central banks, we just simply have to conclude that the massive amount of money that's been printed represents a problem in terms of how to pay it back. And that's particularly a problem for governments. So until inflation really starts to tick up, then it's going to be virtually impossible to raise interest rates because it would cause a recession and it would squeeze money out of the system. And that's the last thing that they want. So we are a long way from the next recession. Then we can think about the yield curve spread, and it is continuing to trend higher. Now, we've certainly had some pause over the course of the last month, but it's certainly not coming back in an aggressive fashion. And financial conditions are still very liquid, and stock markets everywhere are perking up. So the Vietnamese market is pushing on to new highs, and it has completed what was a lengthy ranging phase. So as a market breaks out to new high ground, there must be something that's going on there. And of course, Vietnam, India, and Mexico are probably going to be the big beneficiaries of a migration away from total reliance on China. So the Nifty index is also consolidating above the 14,000 level. We can look at Mexico on a nominal basis and also as the US dollar ETF, and the nominal basis, it's pushing all the way up towards the peaks again. But because of the significant currency volatility, then we can think about it in terms of the dollar, and it's now challenging what has been an 8-year downtrend. So there is certainly potential that some of these countries are going to definitely do better as geopolitical tensions with China rise, and countries try to take advantage of that, and companies have an incentive to give them a go. Because at the trend of just focusing on China as a reliable partner in all forms of business activity is certainly being challenged right now, and I just don't see that as being there being an easy answer. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.